Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we are coming from the epicenter of evangelicalism, Kent, right here, Herb's House Coffee Shop. It's where we do the men's Bible study. It's where we do Steadfast Hope. And Kent, we've got a great passage. We're in John 8, verse 12, and this is the second of the I Am statements that Jesus makes. And as we were saying last time, these are incredible statements that our Lord is making. He says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Kent, these I am statements, Jesus, first of all, is making a claim for deity. And he says, I am. That's taking the divine name from the Old Testament. I am who I am. And Jesus is taking it to himself to show he's co-equal with God the Father and co-eternal with God the Father. It's a statement that Jesus is everything that you and I need. When he says, I'm the light of the world, that imagery of being the light means that he's come into a world of darkness, a world of spiritual darkness, to bring the knowledge of God to us. He is the revelation of God the Father to us. Jesus would later say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So he's come into this world of spiritual darkness, spiritual ignorance, spiritual immorality, to reveal God to us, to bring the saving knowledge of God. And light is also an image of holiness and purity. Darkness is the opposite, an image of immorality and impurity. And so for Jesus to say, I'm the light of the world, he has come to bring the holiness of God to us through his life and death upon the cross. And again, he says, I am the light of the world. There is no other light that can come to us. And he makes this staggering claim that he who follows me, that's a synonym for saving faith, to step out of the darkness of this world and to enter into the light of the truth of the gospel, he will not walk in the darkness. It will be a dramatic change of life that will take place. He will no longer remain where he is. You cannot say you believe in Christ and remain in the darkness. No, if you believe in Christ, you had to come out of the darkness and take that step of faith and come to the light and now begin to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And it brings about a dramatic change of life with even that first step out of the darkness and into the light. And it says that he will have the light of life, both at the beginning of this walk, throughout the entirety of his Christian walk, and when he dies, he will continue to have the light of life. It's the eternal gift of God that will never be taken back. So, Kent, this is the greatest thing that could happen to any person's life, is to become a Christian. I mean, why would you want to stay in the darkness when you could live in the light? Why would you want to stay in sin when you could have the Savior? Why would you want to remain alienated from God when you could become a child of God and walk with Christ? It's the greatest life that anyone could possibly have. And Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly, meaning his supply far exceeds our need. So, Kent, we need to talk about this and how this works out in our lives.
My first thought is
Vince, there may be some that don't know the Lord. There may be some that have family or friends that don't know the Lord, and they're in darkness. And I thought it'd be good for you to maybe just talk about if you're in darkness, what is in your life? If you want to know, are you in darkness, then what are some of the results of darkness that are in your life? Because people in darkness may not even realize they're in darkness.
Well, they don't. They do not know that they do not know.
Yeah.
Well, the person who's in darkness lives for themselves. They are all wrapped up in themselves. And so even their religion is a self-righteousness and a self-promotion, a self-elevation. They're consumed with this world. They live for the here and now. They do not live for eternity. They become an authority unto themselves rather than submitting to the authority of Scripture and submitting to the lordship of Christ. They continue to want to do their own thing and go their own way. And they may dabble in church, or they may dabble with a little Bible reading here and there, but they've never come to the place where they're sold out to Christ. At best, they've tried to be a fence sitter and play all ends into the middle. And so Jesus says we must follow him. Now, that means we must abandon where we once lived and how we once lived, and really take decisive steps of faith to come to Christ and then to follow Christ. And to follow Christ means that we would become imitators of Christ. So, Kent, you've asked a great question. And the contrast could not be any greater. It's the contrast between darkness and light.
Yeah. And darkness is terrifying, isn't it? And how does darkness tie into hell, for example?
Yeah. Well, hell is a place of eternal darkness, is where people are held in chains of darkness, never to see the light again. And it's very representative that the physical darkness really reveals or pictures the spiritual darkness with which they have lived their entire lives. And no one is repenting in hell. And there's only the weeping and the gnashing of teeth in hell. So for whoever's listening to this, if you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ now, today, before it's too late. You need to step out of the darkness. Why would you continue to live in the ignorance of being separated from God when Christ himself is calling to you to come to him, and he will receive you if you will leave behind your self-centeredness, deny yourself, and take up a cross and come to faith in Christ? So, Kent, that's a great question that you've asked.
And I think that's really the key here. Is darkness is darkness, and it's an amazing, obviously from the lips of the Lord ourselves, that could give us a contrast like that.
And so I would
say the same thing, is that even people who sit in church can on the outside still be on the inside in darkness.
Oh, absolutely, Kent. I mean, just because you're sitting in church does not make you a Christian.
Yeah.
Any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car.
Yeah.
Having a kitten in a bread basket doesn't make it a biscuit. You know. I mean, you can be in church and not have Christ. And really here, one of the distinguishing marks of, are you truly in Christ? Do you really know the Lord? As it says, will not walk in the darkness. So that old life is over. That's ancient history.
Yeah. Who wants to be in the dark?
Yeah. I mean, you've left that behind. Sure. You've burned your bridges behind you. There's no going back. It doesn't mean that we're sinless, but it does mean we're heading in a new direction now to follow Christ in the light. And so, Kent, this is so important in John 8:12 that Jesus actually repeats it. It's one of two I am statements that's actually repeated. And he says in John 9 and in verse 5, after he healed the blind man, he says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so conversion and coming to faith in Christ is just like this blind man who was healed physically. So you and I need the miracle of the new birth to be healed spiritually, to be given eyes to see and a heart to believe, ears to hear, and feet to now follow after Christ. This is what's happened in our life. It is the greatest miracle that could ever happen in someone's life. And I think that the case can be made, it is a greater change that happened in your life when you came to faith in Christ than when you die and leave this world and go to heaven. That it was such a dramatic alteration of the interior of your soul and of your life that you literally went from darkness to light. I think of 1 John 1, verse 5, God says, or John writes, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And then he says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. So all this underscores that we must come to Christ by faith. We must walk with Christ by faith and follow him. And if we do, we are in the light and we are walking in the light because we have the light of life within us. So I need to ask you, has this dramatic change happened in your life? Have you left the darkness of this world and the darkness of your self-centeredness? Have you taken that step of faith and committed your life to Christ? If you never have, I urge you this very moment to pray to God and say, God, I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. I need your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into my life and to forgive me of all of my sins. If you will humble yourself, deny yourself, and come to Christ by faith, you too will experience the light of life, and you will become a new person in Christ. May God help you to make this commitment to Christ this very day. God bless you.